The Alan Watts iPhone app is now available on the iTunes App Store, featuring the entire Alan Watts podcast series at your fingertips. Visit alanwattsapp.com for more information.
Now, this seminar this weekend concerns a subject which is so alien from anything that we understand in the West that it may stretch your skulls a little. I don't know. But as Westerners face certain forms of Mahayana Buddhism from the outside, they see what reminds them of total irrationality and superstition. And this, in particular, applies to a form of Buddhism which has several names, and they're all, well, it's really one form of Buddhism, but it's named differently. And they are all sub-schools of Mahayana. It's variously known as Vajrayana, Tantrayana, or Mantrayana. You remember the word yana means a course, basically, sometimes a vehicle. And Buddhism is fundamentally likened to a vehicle or something like a raft which you use for crossing a river. Or let's say you want to get in at a door and you have to knock and you need a brick to knock on the door with, so you pick up the brick and bang on the door. That's a yana. It's an instrument, an expedient, a means, a technique, a method. And the Buddha's doctrine is called in Sanskrit the dharma, and dharma has a whole multiplicity of meanings, but one of them is method. Although it's usually translated law in English, this is not a good translation. So the yana, the whole idea of a yana, is related to the idea of upaya, which I've previously explained to you. U-P-A-Y-A, meaning skillful means, what we would call a pedagogical device or sort of trick, because upaya in politics means cunning. But in religion or philosophy, it means the skill of a teacher in getting something across to a student. And so the whole essence of upaya is really surprise, because everybody wants a surprise, but you can't surprise yourself, because you know in advance what you're going to do. When you have hiccups, then indeed you surprise yourself because you didn't intend to. And upaya and surprise is deeply connected with the whole inner meaning of Buddhism. Life has to surprise itself, because if it doesn't, you don't know you're there. Because you only know existence to the degree that there is a balance between knowing and not knowing. See? So there must be the surprise. There must always be something in you, in other words, that is sort of spiritual hiccups that happens unbeknownst. So an upaya is a method of the teacher producing the surprise of enlightenment in the student, and he uses a yana, that is to say, a vehicle or a course, just like we say we give a course in philosophy or semantics or chemistry or something. And so the course then is the Mahayana, the great course, which includes ever so many different upayas or different ways, the Hinayana, the little course, which has only a few ways. Now, in the Hinayana, they are very tough-minded, and they stick to the notion that all enlightenment depends on your own effort. the Buddha is supposed to have said just before he died, be you lamps unto yourselves, be you a refuge unto yourselves, take to yourselves no other refuge. And in Japanese classification of Buddhist schools, they have two that are respectively called Jiriki and Tariki, and they classify all schools of Buddhism under these headings. Ji means self, Riki means power. So there are ways of salvation, or better, more accurately, liberation by your own power, Jiriki, and then Tariki are the ways by the power of another. That is to say, liberation through what Christians would call grace rather than works. And it's fascinating how the problem of faith and works, or grace and works, turns up in Buddhism just as it does in Christianity. And it's really the same problem. You see, in the history of Christianity, there was a huge argument around 400 AD between a Welshman, or a Celt, by the name of Pelagius, and Augustine of Hippo. And Pelagius was a kind of optimistic Britisher who believed in muddling through and playing the game and putting your nose to the grindstone and so on. And he believed that one's own will and effort could obey the commandments of God, because he argued that God would not have given us any commandments unless we could have obeyed them. But St. Augustine said that he missed the point entirely, that if he had read St. Paul properly, especially the Epistle to the Romans, he would have found out that God did not give us commandments in order that we should obey them, but in order to prove that we couldn't. That is to say, as St. Paul put it, to convict us of sin. That the law, in other words, was a gimmick, an upaya. Nobody was ever expected to obey the law, the Ten Commandments summarizing the law. Especially, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your mind. Nobody can do that at all. And so even the greatest saints are always beating their breasts and confessing that they're abysmal sinners, because they've realized that they can't live up to the commandments. So therefore, St. Paul taught that the law, he said, is a pedagogue to lead us to Christ. And you see, a pedagogue has the same meaning as upaya. So what the law does is make you feel absolutely awful, because you can't obey it or do anything about it. Now, the Buddhists have come to an exactly similar conclusion in the course of time, because the Buddha was apparently, in his original teaching, tough-minded, and said, listen, boys, you better discipline yourselves, see? And you get to work, and you cut out women and drink and possessions and meditate and control your minds. Well, everybody tried this. And of course they couldn't do it. A few people did. Only they dried up. They found that was a kind of a Pyrrhic victory. That what you gain by stopping your humanity and stopping your emotions isn't worth getting. It's like cutting off your head to cure the headache. So they realized that wasn't the way. But that was why Buddha suggested it, so that they'd find out. So then came in the new schools of Buddhism, which said that you must be liberated by Tariki. And Ta, as I said, means other power. That is to say, the power of something in you that is not your ego. Just in the same way as your heart doesn't beat at the will of your ego. So in psychoanalysis, for example, we would say that the unconscious has to be worked on and that it will be watered and nourished and so on, and eventually the unconscious will produce your integration. This is Jungian language, not Freudian. And you depend on that. It's not you. Because, of course, integration means that you get the two aspects of yourself together and acknowledge them both as you, the conscious and the unconscious, the power of the ego, and the power of the natural organism, or the psyche. And so in every art one realizes there comes a point where your will is exhausted. You've tried everything to make something work, and it won't work. And then to achieve the perfection of the art, something has to happen of itself, which we variously call grace, inspiration, or tariki. And the problem that everybody has always wanted to know is how to make that happen. Now, you see, if we knew how to make it happen, it wouldn't be it. Because it would be something we were doing. And it would be, therefore, the old story of just simply an ego effort. And so we don't know how to make it happen. But if you just settle for that and say, well, sorry, but there's nothing you can do about it, everybody's just going to go home. And forget the whole thing and commit suicide. The thing is, therefore, the state we call faith is the key. And faith means that we know it will happen. Only we've got to wait. Only don't wait too hard, because that will be ego effort again and will stop it happening. So the thing is to learn to wait soft. That is to say, in a state of openness. Well, now, how do you do that? There are all sorts of upayas, you see, means that help one to do this. And one of them is this thing that I've been referring to as the Vajrayana. That means the diamond vehicle. The Tantrayana, that means the web vehicle, and the Mantrayana, which means the sound vehicle. Sound in the sense of incantation.
Listening to Alan Watts from the Spoken Word Library of the Electronic University. For copies of this and other Alan Watts programs, please go to alanwatts.com on the World Wide Web or call us toll-free at 1-800-WO-WATTS. That's alanwatts.com or 1-800-WO-WATTS. The Watts website features free audio downloads, program lists, and information on Watts' life and works. Once again, that's alanwatts.com or 1-800-WO-WATTS.